Are you a great one for New Year resolutions? Because I confess that I'm not. But what I have discovered over the last few years is there's something about the new year which sets me clearing out things. A couple of years ago, it was the garage. Do you have a garage? Do you have a car? Does your car go into your garage? I think we're roughly evenly divided. Certainly with me, it was definitely a question of no. We had two cars which never ever saw the inside of our garage. However, I decided that the garage was in desperate need of being cleared out. There were the double doors on the roadside, and there was a single door leading into the garden, and you literally could not walk through the garage from one to the other. It was that bad. The task of sorting it out was an absolutely mammoth one. And the one thing particularly that I remember about the job was how disgustingly dirty I became. The years of accumulated rubbish and discarded items that I felt would come in useful one day had to be sorted out. I literally had to wear an industrial dust mask when eventually it came to sweeping the concrete floor, because it had never been properly sealed, and the slightest disturbance of the surface set up choking clouds of fine dust. As each session, and there had to be quite a few sessions, came to an end, I could not wait to discard my working clothes and step into the shower and feel the rush of cleansing water washing away the accumulated grime. Our gospel reading today has a lot to say about emptying and cleansing. John had been preaching to the crowds a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. He had also been speaking of the one who was to come. In the verses before the reading that we heard this morning, he speaks of one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. That one, according to John, will purge and separate. He will gather the wheat and burn with unquenchable fire the chaff. John had huge expectations. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. That certainly wasn't what John expected. Is it possible for us, with our hindsight, to put ourselves in John's shoes? It's certainly very difficult. But I suggest that he might have expected a coming in power, such as the people of the time were longing for. It's one thing for Jesus to show up in power. It's another for him to come just like all the others beside the Jordan that day, to stand among them, unnoticed and unremarkable, waiting for his turn to be baptized. John had no idea that power would come in humility and submission. He had no idea that he would be baptizing Jesus. He thought, when it came down to it, that it should be the other way round. And I think we can understand that. He felt he needed to be baptized by Jesus. At that moment, John had no idea just how close the kingdom of heaven had come to him. Honestly, I can identify with John. There have been times in my life when I had no idea how close the kingdom of heaven had come to me. I had had no idea that God would show up in that particular way, in that particular place, at that time. And it's only in looking back that I recognize what I missed at the time. So it is that John says to Jesus, "I need to be baptized by you." Who can blame John? How could he or we expect the Creator to be baptized by the created? That the Creator would give his sandals to the one who is unworthy to carry them. But that is exactly what Jesus does. John's question, "And do you come to me?" is ours also. Sometimes it seems incredible that God would come to us. Maybe we see God as distant and beyond our understanding. Maybe we see ourselves as unworthy and undeserving. Maybe we believe that God is more concerned about our behavior than our life. Maybe life experiences have led us to wonder whether God even cares. That question, "And do you come to me?" finds its answer in the baptism of Jesus. And that answer is a resounding yes. It's a resounding yes for John. It's a resounding yes for you. It's a resounding yes for me. And it's a resounding yes for absolutely everyone. But that answer has consequences, because it faced John with a choice. He could prevent or consent to Jesus' baptism. In entering into baptism, Jesus is not only immersed in the waters of the Jordan, he is immersed into all of creation, becoming one with all humanity, becoming one with us here and now. He immerses himself in struggles and temptations. He immerses himself in compassion that acknowledges the dignity of every human being. He immerses himself in the betrayal of Judas's kiss. He immerses himself in the pain and rejection of Peter's denial. He immerses himself in the agony of the soldier's whips and the crown of thorns. He immerses himself in the shame and humility of the cross. He immerses himself in the tomb and the darkness of death. Paul gives us further insight into this in his letter to the Philippians. "Have this in mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death upon the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him that name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. When Jesus came up from the water, the heavens opened to him. The Spirit descended upon him, and a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." With Christ's immersion into our life, the heavens are opened to us. With his immersion into our life, the Spirit descends upon us as well. With his immersion into our life, we also are God's beloved children, every one of us. John's question is our question. And do you come to me? Yes, he does. He always has, and he always will. He is the God who comes. The exercise of clearing out that garage meant that I had a large number of decisions about what should merit a place in the newly prepared area. And the same can be well said about my life. What might I with benefit let go? What should I treasure and protect? It can be a very challenging exercise, and one in which I need help. And that help can come in a number of ways. It can come as we gather as the body of Christ to worship together. It can come through the wise words of friends. It can come through the example of my Lord. And it comes also through the time and space that I give to resting in his presence. So let us take a moment of quiet to rest in his presence. Let us pray. Gracious God, give us courage and comfort that comes from being claimed by you in the waters of baptism. This we ask in the name of our Redeemer, who stands with us, dripping from head to toe, even Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.